Happy birthday, Brad.
Producer.
That's right. Now, how old are you, Brad? 24.
24 guru.
Let's make sure
guru.
This works so you'll make it to 25.
And before, let's also thank Tobacco
Shelley?
And Brew,
Tobacco
Shelley.
And Brew. And Shelley, Joe, thank you. Let's
thank
everybody.
You so much.
Shelley, a hand.
For always making the room available always. And being such a wonderful citizen here.
Always supporting us. Okay. Was anybody else disappointed on April 1st, on April Fool's Day, at the end of the evening, Barack Obama did not come on the TV and say that that health care bill, April Fool's. Okay, so I guess it just wasn't me then. That was just a little disappointed about that. You know, and then in between then, at the same time, the they've just said is that your cars, by 2018, 2020, that your cars are going to cost more, but you're going to appreciate it because you're going to save money on gas. Well, you don't know you're going to save money on gas because you don't know what the price of gas is there. But it does mean you can be driving one of those little smart cars, the ones that are 3 feet long and 4 feet wide. I saw a photo when one was parked between two trucks by accident. Well, it's now 1 foot wide and 3 feet, you know. So all these little announcements, I just hope that everybody's are you trying to keep up with these announcements that are going on? You know, the health care plan doesn't cover children. Okay, maybe it does. Oh, by the way, you now are for the first time by the federal government being forced to buy a product. You know, I mean, the federal government is telling you under this one that you have to buy health insurance. Unless you're illegal, then you can still go down to the emergency room. But then again, I think I also heard the word amnesty being used during the same time. See, when you're looking at health care over here, then amnesty is over here. And at the same time, if you remember during the voting, they had a huge rally. Well, I don't know how huge it was. It's in thousands. I don't know how many that is. To change the immigration laws for amnesty. That's really, you know, that's pretty important because one of the things that the president said was when the head of the Hispanic caucus went out there was, we want you to support this bill, and he said he would. So the Hispanic caucus then voted, of course, for the health care bill. So you have amnesty on the back burner. Oh, the change in the don't ask, don't tell policy. All right. There are a lot of things going on, and then the Assistant Secretary of Defense, McHugh, said, we're not going to discharge anybody under that policy. That's been suspended. Well, then he had to come out the next day and say, well, not so fast. That is a law, and we are not going to suspend that. So, but that's changing. In fact, it used to be is that if somebody violated the policy, they would be put in for an administrative discharge. They have since changed that to say that the only person that can initiate this is a general officer, which kind of tells you that those colonels and lieutenant colonels with 20 or 30 years in that have led people in combat for the last 20 or 30 years can no longer be trusted to have the judgment to know what's good for their people. So just something else that's going on. But I kind of feel like all of you out there are kind of watching this along with me. Okay. Now,
we have a very special guest today, and we want to give him a warm Free Fire Radio welcome. A gentleman who has decided to come to the plate, stand up, and run for the 5th district of our supervisor, and his name is Corky Harmon. Welcome, Corky Harmon.
Thank you, Linda.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to do what we always do here. We're going to start opening with questions on the floor.
Well, we want Corky first to introduce yourself because in case people don't know you because you've come into the race just a little bit later than other people. So who is Corky Harmon?
Is this part where I stand up?
Whatever you –
You guys are standing up. I'm feeling –
Well, I'm going to sit down. You go ahead. You want to be in front? Right. Do you want to be in front of the – you know, whatever you want.
I'm comfortable either way. Thank you for having me. Thank you for listening. I'm a lifetime member, resident of Shasta County. I was born over here on the hill. I like to tell people you can go find my records and you can find out who I am. I'm very involved in the community – business and pleasure and you know, functions, school. You know, I look out here, I see somebody I actually coach some football with. My family, I live out in Palisadero. My family, I have three kids, two daughters. They're both out of high school. One's finishing her degree in foreign economics, and she's a linguist. She's down in Austin, Texas. My other daughter just moved back here from Montana. I'm happy to have her home. She's been gone for 2 years, and then I have a son still at home, is at Foothill High School. My wife Cindy, who's not here, I asked her to come here, but I told you earlier, she's very private, and she's doing a lot for me. If it wasn't raining, she was going to be putting signs out with the postal fence driver.
All right.
That's what kind of woman she is. Okay, she's 100% behind me, but she doesn't like to be right here where I'm at right now. But anyways, yeah. So you have a wife that way?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, I'm a businessman here in this community. I've been in business in this community for over 25 years. Always had the mindset to work for myself. I have an entrepreneurial type personality. So the big question is, if that's your mentality and your personality, what are you doing in politics? That hurt a lot when you said I was a politician. You did say that.
Can I retract that statement?
That would be nice.
All right. A man running for office. How's
a man
that?
Running for office who he does not like the term politician.
I'm kind of making fun with that, but I know you're going to get tagged as a politician when you do what I'm doing. I am not a politician. I'm a businessman. I don't want to see somebody step into this seat that has ideas of making a career out of it. I think this is something that needs to be handled on a local level. It's all about local. It needs somebody that knows the people. And I'm going to tell you that, you know, there's other very nice people doing what I'm doing. But it requires a little bit more than somebody that's just nice. It needs somebody that knows how to lead, knows how to make decisions, knows how to talk to people, knows how to get the job done. And has a history of that. And I told Carl and Linda this morning, I want people to check me out. I want people to ask around, find out who I am. We should do that about every candidate. I'm somebody you can easily find out about. We can have a conversation, and we can come up with several people you know that I know, and you can go talk to them and find out not what I'm about this year, not what I'm about in the last few months, but what I'm about my whole life. I've got nothing. You know, you put that big target on your forehead. I've got nothing in my background that I think it's silly when people step up and do something like this here, and then they got all kinds of things that get dragged out of the closet. You know, I'm not sitting here telling you I'm a perfect man and I'm, you know, got wings on my back or nothing like that. No, but I am a working man. I'm an honest working man, and I want the opportunity to see what just some good business sense will do at a level of county supervisor.
Okay. What changes would you make if elected? What would be some of the first changes you would try to make?
Well, you know, like anything I've ever done, the first thing you got to do is get familiar with the people that are there. There's some good people that are in our local government. I think the real challenge is to work with those people, work closely with those people, bring somebody in there that knows how to work with people, that people can look you in the eyes and trust what you say is what you're going to do. If you can't do it, if you're not sure you can do it, don't tell them you can. Gain rapport with the different agencies, the different individuals, gain rapport with them. Get a relationship with them, and my biggest ticket item, I guess you'd call it, is that I want to see decisions made here in Shasta County that are best for the whole community. You know, whether it's in, like we said earlier, whether it's in Anderson, Redding, Shasta Lake City, or out in the, you know, the rural areas out in the county, we need to make decisions that where everybody's pulling together and working like we are, like we do all live in the same community. I have friends, and I'm just like you guys, I have friends that live on every side of the valley, you know, up in the mountains or down, you know, clear down to Cottonwood or clear up into Shasta Lake and I do business all over the valley. So I don't have that feeling of here's the boundary right here. Don't cross that line. We need to get more partnering type of an atmosphere.
Well, let's go to the floor with our first question. John?
Good morning, Corky. How are you this morning? Or this afternoon, I guess.
Good morning, John.
I don't know you, and I don't know a whole lot about you, and I know you're new into the race. I've got a couple of questions. Have you ever held office before?
No.
Okay. Then I would like to know, Les Baugh is the current incumbent, and he's running. What do you think you can do better than he, and why are you dissatisfied with his performance enough that you choose to run against him?
It's a fair question. And obviously, I wouldn't be running if I was satisfied with Les Baugh's decisions. And I would never say something negative about Les. He's a good man. Like I just said, John, if you're a good guy and you're a nice guy and you have that doesn't mean you're making good decisions or you're the right guy for the job. I am used to large projects. I'm used to having to partner, you know, with different agencies. I have the background, and I have the reputation, you know, the work ethics reputation to take on big projects, start them and finish them successfully. And I'm not viewing this project as anything less than that.
Okay, I think John has another question.
Just a little follow-up to that. There's quite a difference between running a business and operating within the government experience. It's an entirely different world. And again, I'm just going to direct this just a little further, and I don't mean to ride you about it, but what are you dissatisfied with that's currently happening? That's mainly what I'd like to know, that you think you can improve.
I think, well, I'll give you two examples, John, and I'm sorry I didn't make that clear. Well, I didn't really get back around to it. You're right. I have not ran in a public office. I definitely have been in an office. I've been in several offices. I have an office job. My job includes dealing with budgets. It includes dealing with labor. It includes dealing with a variety of agencies. And I'm going to step out on a limb here and say my background has forced me to work with more agencies than your normal person that would step up to do this. Whether it's environmental, like air quality, fish and game, Caltrans, city, permitting, those are the kind of things I'm used to. And I'm used to having to bring people together to stay focused on getting a job done. And if I didn't do that, it was coming out of my pocket. Because as a contractor, you step up and say, I'm going to do this project for X amount of dollars. And if you don't get it done on time, you get penalized. If you don't get it done under budget, you pull it out of your pocket. I've never had a project that failed. Okay, and I don't mean to sound like I'm jerking my chain, but you got to step up. And people want to know who you are. And that's just a little background about who I am.
Could you name specifically, perhaps, a few things that you've been dissatisfied with that maybe propelled you to run?
Well, and you can't keep everybody happy. If you're going to do this job, you're not going to keep everybody happy. And if you try to keep everybody happy, you're not going to take care of your primary goal, which is to make good decisions for the community, for Shasta County. And so I'll give you a good example, John. The gravel pit, the Tullis gravel pit. You know, that was a difficult. You know, nobody wants it in their backyard. I happen to have some experience with that because I'm in that business. A lot of people said, well, you probably wouldn't have supported that, and that's not true. I would have supported that, and I did support that, and the reason is because I have a background in that industry. My background is that a few years ago we did a study on the reserves in Shasta County, the reserve of aggregates, and this all calculates down to how much it costs you and I to build a home or maintain the driveway that we have or the next project that the community wants to build. And it has to do with, are we going to truck from one side of the valley all the way to the other side of the valley, which is a lot of impact, trucking and, And the difficult part is it was going to make some impact right there where it was coming out of. But unfortunately, we can't pick where our natural resources are. That happened to be a good choice. And that happened to be a decision that was difficult, but it needed to be made, and it needed to be in favor of it. Les Baugh voted against it. Well, it wasn't a good decision, in my opinion. First off, you're not going to get that project passed if you don't address all of the environmental issues. And they came up with a negative declaration on the environmental issues, or they would have never got the permit. So there was a lot of things that were thrown out there. The truck traffic was a big one. One of the residents there didn't even realize that the amount of trucks that they were allowed to truck out of there with, didn't even realize that they were already doing it. It wasn't as big of an impact as the opposing parties would like it to sound like.
Corky, Ron Largent. Monday night, I was asked, as part of my campaign for assessor, my take on the Williamson Act. And my answer was, it's not in my job description. So I'd like to ask you, what's your take on the status of the Williamson Act, and what do you think will be the future of that for the state of California?
Well, and Ron, I can't tell you that I'm completely up to, you know, up on all that. That's something that I do know Glenn Haas is very familiar with. And it has to do with preserving, you know, a lot of our large acreage parcels, our ranch lands. A lot of those ranch lands went into the Williamson Act, for those of you that aren't familiar with it. And my understanding is that the funding was cut off for it. Is that right, Ron? Right. Which is, we're going to see a lot more of that kind of thing get cut off the way the budgets are going. The full impact of what that's going to do and what that means, I can't sit here and answer that question, Ron. I think it was a good program. You know, what little I know about it, I think it was a good program, and I am very much in favor of preserving our large land tracts and, you know, trying to keep those people that own those large parcels affordable, you know, to keep them that way and not bust them all up, you know, which was a big part of that program. But I hope I answered that a little bit there, Ron.
Honorable Sir, Specialist Sean Merritt, U.S. Army retired. I'm also a Chief Executive Director of NorCal Normal. My question to you would be, if you win and become the supervisor, you will take an oath similar to what I took, that you will swear to defend and uphold the Constitution of the United States and that of California. We have local municipalities such as Redding, such as Anderson, and also with the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, who are trying to pass and impose illegal and unjust restrictions on medical marijuana patients. You being a business owner and entrepreneur, I'm sure that you can sympathize with the 30, 35, or 40 so collective owners here who are only here serving sick people. And patients like myself who have moved here for that freedom and for that change of life instead of being addicted to pills are now having our freedoms infringed upon. My question to you would be, if you get into office, are you going to uphold the Constitution of California, or are you going to support these local municipalities and their unjust and unruly ordinances? Thank you, sir.
I assume you mean the Constitution of the United States when you say California.
Going back to that, the Ninth and Tenth Amendment, the Tenth Amendment explicitly gives states the power. So when you are sworn in, you're going to uphold the Constitution of the state of California. Correct, sir?
Correct. I uphold the Constitution of the United States, guaranteed. I don't agree with everything California is doing, and I can't sit here and tell you that I understand the minute differences between the state versus the U.S. Constitution, but I definitely am an upholder of the Constitution and an upholder of our rights as citizens.
Excellent, sir. And I'd like to give you a little bit to look over tonight is Article 11, Section 7 of the California Constitution, which states, local municipalities have within their power the right to regulate sanitary, police, et cetera, as long as they are not in general conflict with state law. When you are elected into office, I hope you will look over some of these ordinances and look over Senate Bill 420 and the Compassionate Use Act, as well as the Kelly case, and you will see that these ordinances are unjust, unwarranted, and illegal. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I will tell you that what my concerns are, and my concerns are, you know, you give an inch, you know, people take a mile, and I don't want to see people smoking pot on the street corners, and I don't want to see an influx of, and I know this is kind of a loose term, but pot smokers, and if you want to, and you need to do that, and you need to do that in the privacy of your own home, I'm sympathetic to that, but I'm not sympathetic to open ourselves up so that we end up with a gold rush type of a deal coming in here to Shasta County, where we've got it on every street corner. You know, it's a concern. My biggest concern on that subject is our kids. And right now, I think everybody here knows that it's rampant. It's out of control. You're an adult. Your brain's fully developed. Our brains as humans are not fully developed until our mid-20s. And right now, that is my biggest concern, and it always will be, that these kids that are smoking pot are stunting the development of their brain. Your frontal lobe of your brain is not fully developed until your mid-20s, and that's your ability to reason, your ability to make good conscientious decisions. As an adult, what people do, you know, in the privacy of their own home, I think is the privacy that they deserve, and we all deserve as citizens. I personally don't smoke pot, never have, never want to. I have close friends that do. I don't look down my nose at them. I don't agree with it, but I definitely don't want to see it out here in my face, the kid's face, or in the public. And that's the honest answer I can give you.
Another question on the floor here.
This past weekend, I saw former Sheriff Jim Pope, who was the last four terms. He won the Sheriff of Shasta County election four terms in a row. And he said that he's been knowing you since you were born, and you've been working since you've been walking. My question is, did you ever work for Sheriff Pope, and how'd that work out for you?
I did work for Jim. I used to live next door to him. My parents owned a house next to him on Crest Drive in Anderson. And I used to do the paper route in the neighborhood and, you know, go over and do the odd jobs in his yard with him and try not to get eat by Bruno, his police dog. But I do have a long background with Jim. Jim Pope's my uncle. It's my mother's brother, and so obviously, you know, he's supportive of me. But I'll tell you something about Jim. He wouldn't stick his neck out, and I don't care if you're related to him or not. He's not gonna say, "Hey, I'm supporting this guy. I'm gonna get behind him," if he didn't feel good about it. You know, like I said, you know, Jim's known me his whole life, and you gotta love Jim. He's about like I am. He's not a very good public speaker, but he does a good job when he goes to work, and I'll do the same thing.
Two more quick questions that will come up. All three of these, the Williamson Act and these other two, will come up in the next few weeks for you. One is your take on the tank project, the large energy project, and then the second one is your take on what happened with the auto mall. And what do you see developing down there at the corner of Knighton and Interstate 5?
The tank project was a large transmission lines that they were trying to put through Cottonwood. You know, everybody's familiar with that. And it was very intrusive. Now, that I was glad to see not happen, because that was a you know, that was crossing the line, people's privacy, putting the transmission lines through their backyard, happen to live underneath the lines. I've heard stories for years, you know, about the health issues that, that might be involved with that, Ron, and the, you know, to get back to the Knighton Road, you know, it's unfortunate. And I've talked to, and some of the people that live on the Turn Creek Bottom are my friends, you know, and I'm sympathetic to the fact that, you know, people don't want things in their backyard. It's I-5. Somewhere years ago, we decided to put the interstate through there. That decision got made. Somewhere we decided to put an overpass at Knighton Road that was straight across to the airport. Then we've made decisions to put the industrial park the city did on the backside of the airport. You know, are we gonna stop progress? No, we're not gonna stop progress. You know, we're gonna all pull together and make good decisions for the whole community. I feel bad for the fact that, you know, some people are gonna lose some of their privacy. You know, I've heard, you know, that's prime agricultural land down there in Turn Creek Bottom, but, you know, and there's some of it getting used for that, but we cut it up and built houses. You know, the farming use is, you know, down to the people's gardens in their backyards primarily. I know that's not 100% true. There's still some open land down there, and nobody is more concerned about what we do long term with Shasta County, and I don't care where it is in Shasta County, than I am. I'm not. And just because I'm a contractor doesn't mean I am a pro, build it, let's do it, let's get it going, I'm not, that's not the way I operate. I'm all about making good decisions, right decisions, not making wrong decisions, and making decisions that are right for the whole community. We might, you know, when we stopped that project, Les Ball made that decision to vote no against it. And, you know, I think you're kidding yourself to think that you might stop it this time. It's already coming back. You know, a bigger company bought it. It's going to get developed. It's inevitable. So let's make good decisions about how it gets developed. Let's make good decisions that we incorporate the people's concerns that live on Churn Creek Bottom. There's a lot of things that can be done, and this is where my background in infrastructure, you know, can play a good role in the decision process, because there's things that can be done to protect, you know, as far as noise, to barriers that can be built that will be favorable to the people that live down there. But we stopped it the last time. It was a bad decision or a good decision. Who knows? It's history. The Hawkins Company, a big developer, bought that down there, and it's coming back. It's going to be back in our face. And even if you stop that one, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, that's going to happen down there. It's inevitable. So let's do something positive, you know, for the decisions that are made there. Consider all the people. And am I getting too?
Yeah, we're just going to go back on the floor again. But that's, you know, did you feel like that was, you got your answers? Good. John.
Hi, Corky. Are we getting to be friends yet?
Yes.
Listen, I've got a couple of more questions for you. Yeah, the Johnny Corky Show.
You're not as good looking
all,
as Linda.
Are you prepared for the fact that you're not going to be able to attend to your own business while you're in office like you have in the past? And are you prepared for the change in income status, because it's going to be considerable? That's question one.
Okay. You want me to answer that one
Go
first?
Ahead. Answer that one. Really
that's a good question, John, and I'm glad you asked that question, because I told Carl and Linda earlier, the first thing I did was made sure I felt comfortable that this was a good direction for me. And with me, that involves some prayer and talking to some friends that, you know, that are around me, that I trust their opinions. And I went and talked to a lot of people that I trust their opinions, you know, that were substantial people in the community. And I asked, you know, what do you think about me doing this? I got nothing but positive feedback. Then the next thing I needed to do was go to my wife. It's important for me, right? And my wife, the first time, 2-3 years ago, absolutely not. And I said, you know, all right, you know, and it was just me talking about it. And of course, you keep talking about it, the passion gets a little, you know, growing, and I still wouldn't do it without my wife's help. My wife finally told me, she says, you need to do this. Then I needed to go to my partners. I don't have a mom and pop business. I have a operation that has layers of management in it. I went to my two business partners, and I wouldn't have done it if my business partners weren't behind me, because I know what it's going to do to infringe on you know, my daily job, and I needed to know I had their support and be able to, you know, put my best foot forward, which I do. John, you can find that out about me. I don't take on something without giving it 100%.
And excellent. I think that answers that. And I'm going to come back to a question about Les Bond. It may seem like I'm directing a lot to him, but he's your opponent, so I have to.
Sure, sure.
Recently, it has come to the front that various elected officials are not really giving any consideration to their constituency's best interest or what their particular concerns are. It's happened at the city level. It's also happened at the county level. You mentioned you didn't agree with what Les Baugh's decision on the trellis gravel pit was, and it appeared to me that he was responding to the demands of his constituency. Are you going to be willing to go against your constituency on these circumstances, or are you going to pay attention to the people who elected you? And I know that's a real difficult question.
Well, it's not. I definitely will pay attention to the constituencies that are willing to support me if I get this job. That gets back, John, to making decisions that are best for the whole community. You can't get focused on a special interest and make a decision based. And those are where you get the targets put on your forehead. And I understand that those are complicated.
The special interest should be your constituency.
Absolutely. But what I mean by that, John, is that you got to look at the whole area. You're representing, what is it, 20,000+ people that are in that district, but you're not just representing them. We have five supervisors. They've divided up the county into five districts, but those five supervisors make the decisions that control what happens in the whole county. You need to have five good supervisors in there, and they need to consider it. And, you know, I need to make sure that we're clear on this, John, because I definitely am sympathetic to the people that get impacted, but we can't stop progress. It's going to happen. I don't think anybody out here has quit having babies. I think we're all have grandkids, and you have? Okay.
You haven't stopped trying, though.
How about your grandkids? Cool. How about your grandkids?
Yeah, okay. We have two grandchildren.
Yes.
Can
okay.
I finalize?
See, you're still having babies.
Yeah, two.
I'm going to finalize my comments with you, if I could.
Okay.
And I want to bring up a sore subject with a lot of people, but it's close to where you're at, and it's also a developmental consideration. The county has an interest in Stillwater just like the city does. And I'd like to know what your opinions of Stillwater are, and if you see any future in the development, and if you're willing to promote the development of Stillwater outside the county and outside to business communities away from here.
Well, my understanding of that project is there was a lot of negotiating that went on back and forth between the county and the city, and it involved a lot of things. Churn Creek Bottom was one of them. I think it was a little tough putting that project together. Of course, hindsight's really good. You know, we can't see out in the future. If the economy would have kept booming, maybe it would have been the perfect thing to do to bring more jobs into Shasta County, which was, and I've listened to that whole pitch on why we did it and what we're trying to accomplish there, and there's a lot of good pros about that. But we also have a lot of private, you know, empty square footage, whatever you want to. We have a lot of people that are struggling out here, unfortunately. And some of it could be a result of what we do there. It's kind of a catch-22, because if that thing would, get rocking and rolling and would have created all them jobs, that would have, maybe that would have, you know, influence the you know, the other drawbacks that you come up with on that, that it would influence that in a positive way. That's a tough one. It really is. It's difficult. When you listen to the pitch on that, and they have some valid, you know, you got to do some things to draw in some good clean industry. Industry's maybe a little tough word. It can be somebody like a computer, you know, type processing, those kinds of jobs. We got to have that kind of thing going on. I don't know about you, John, but I've spent even last evening talking to friends that are close friends of mine. They're hurting. They're, you know, if something doesn't change, they're going to be bankrupt in 6 months.
I understand what you're saying. I'd like to see clean industry there, too, such as the entertainment industry.
Sure.
That'd be great studios. Hey, we have 10 minutes left before we finalize this segment of Free Fire Radio, and we have more questions. I'm sure there's some burning desires for more questions, so here we go.
Yes, I'm glad I got to hear you today. You're very encouraging.
Thank you.
My issue is private property rights, and it's a big issue with me, and the government is moving against us all the time, either taking away water, making it so prohibitive to operate your business by rules and regulations, and even Shasta County has some pretty egregious rules and can move against people one at a time. I just would like to know your position on private property rights.
Well, I am a private property owner, and I don't want anybody infringing on my private property rights, and I don't want to see them infringing on anybody else's private property rights. That's why we live where we live. I know there's some cases, that we could refer to that were eminent domain type of things. I assume that is one of the topics you're discussing. Those are tough. We have way too much government right now. That's my bottom line. Governments, we're getting way too top heavy. I said it earlier, you know, this morning driving into town, it's kind of like a ship. Got to have ballast, you know, to keep the ship floating and upright in an upright position. Right now we're moving way too much ballast to the upper decks. And if you don't keep enough, the ballast down there is us. It's the private industry. And the only thing I'm hearing out there that's creating jobs right now is government. I think we had a 7% increase in government jobs. Well, we're eating the seed corn here. You know, that's a term I think most of you are familiar with.
Seed corn?
The seed corn. You understand that one?
Oh, the seed corn.
Seed corn.
Okay, you were talking about boats, so I was still in the seed.
You can't eat the seed corn or the next crop's not going to happen.
Let's go to Charles on the floor here.
Yes, do you believe it is at all appropriate for the public health department to be lobbying public and private entities for more restrictive policies such as, smoking policies fast food, snack food curtailment policies and et cetera. Do you think it's at all appropriate for the public health department to be lobbying and spending taxpayer dollars to do that for that stuff?
Well, I think there's some really good programs we got going, and those programs
there's
involve
the difference between education and lobbying, well, which is what they're doing, and they make no secret about it.
Well, we have obesity problems. I think you can agree with that, can you not? I think we have nutrition problems. I try to be very conscientious about what I'm eating. I think we have some good programs that we need to keep working towards, because we definitely have a problem in the United States with the fast food industries. You talk about health. We have the best health care in the world, and we have the busiest health care system in the world. And a lot of it's because we're not educated about what we're doing, and we're bringing up our kids in the same fast-paced lifestyle that's causing us to stop on every corner, get it as fast as we can, and that's not good for us. So am I against those kinds of programs? Not at all.
Not against the programs, against... Are you for lobbying?
No, that's infringing on our personal rights, but if...
I mean, my position is it's not appropriate for them to be spending taxpayer dollars to be doing that kind of lobbying.
Well, no, I don't want people... If you want to go out and smoke, you know, as long as you go outside and you're not, you know, in somebody's way, you have every right to do that. I don't have a problem with that. I wouldn't encourage you to do that. I would try to encourage you not to do that, I would be opposed to you blowing it in somebody's face or standing by the door when it's coming back through the door. But spending a lot of money on much of anything right now is a big no. Right now, we got to do everything we can to save money. There's programs we got to protect. There's some programs we're going to have to make a lot of tough decisions that we're going to have to let go. And that's a pretty deep subject and a pretty long-winded answer for that question, but if it has to do with personal rights, no, I'm opposed to it. If it has to do with spending more money that's not necessary right now, no, I'm opposed to it.
Sir, since you said you're opposed to spending more money and you're for personal freedoms, you also said you're sympathetic to the needs of special interest and that you can't stop progress and that you want to look for the community as a whole and take care of the whole community, and that you want to help the farmers, and that there is too much government right now, I think are some of the key points that you've said so far. Am I mistaken in that, sir?
No, you're pretty close to right on.
Okay. There are 20,000 plus medical marijuana patients in Shasta County. If you want to help the farmers, the number one cash crop in California is marijuana. It is, and I mean, we can laugh about it all we want, but the reefer madness type mentality has got to stop, because the truth is that you can go over there and get a 6-pack of beer or something, or a 12-pack, drink it and get behind your car, and you're probably going to kill somebody. And there's a bunch of mothers that are mad to, you know, bite people who drive drunk, because it's dangerous.
If we're not careful, we're going to have that same kind of results with marijuana.
Show me the tests that say that marijuana is more dangerous than alcohol. In 5,000 years of recorded medical history, there has been one death from marijuana, and that was when the government put it in a pill form. How many deaths are there? How many times do we look in the newspaper and see drunk driving accidents or something along those lines?
Well, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
When you smoke pot, does it not impair your decision process? Does it not impair your...
It does.
Does it not slow down your reflexes?
Nope. Not at all.
I disagree with that.
Well, let's smoke sometime. I'll smoke sometime and talk to you, and we'll see if my brain's still firing as fast as it is right now. Okay.
Well, I'm sure as we're having... This is what we love. Thank you, Sean. What we love about having these open forums is that because... We all do know that what Sean's posing, his questions, there are many, many, many people here in the North State that believe, I mean, we've got more co-ops here, the same amount, if not as many, as Los Angeles.
Los Angeles is the only one that beats us. I think we have everybody else.
And well, so it's going to be a hot topic for, it will be a hot topic for the next how many years? Well, and in California, they're going to be looking to legalize it. It is going to be something that we are going to be seeing. People are going to be rallying to legalize it. Whether you agree with it or not, it is going to be something that's going to be a hot topic.
I'd like to say one more thing, Sean. We went from, in a short conversation, we went from me saying, I'm okay with what you do personally. You want to do that? It doesn't affect anybody else? I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't want to see people doing it. But you're an adult. I'm not stopping you from doing it. But we went from that conversation to growing it as a cash crop out here on the farmlands. I think we ought to grow food instead of marijuana.
I agree with you on that also. But I think when this is legalized in November, and there are a lot of cash-strapped towns, what are they going to turn to? What are they really going to turn to? Look what happened after the prohibition of alcohol. You know, at the end of prohibition of marijuana, it's going to be the same thing. And I mean, we're going to have to take these things into effect. But I'm not here for the legal or for it being legal for everybody. My main concern is for the medical marijuana patients in this county having the only medicine that works for them and a medicine that they drove 3,000 miles or more to get here to be able to use freely. I'm concerned about their rights being taken away by people who are sitting in these local offices. That's what I'm concerned about. You're concerned about the children and it getting to the kids, and I understand that. I do. But if you have ever been into a collective, one that is legit and works properly, you would know that they are not dealing to the kids. The people that are dealing to the kids are the drug dealers, are the same drug dealers that I don't want to go to get my medicine. I want to go to a collective and get my medicine because it's a safe, friendly atmosphere. It's not down some dark alley somewhere where I might get shot or stabbed or something.
Sean, we're talking about making it a prescription is the only way you can get it, right?
Well, it's recommended now. When it's recommended, you go to your collective, and then you get your medicine.
So it's in the same category as prescription drugs. What do you think it would be like if we were able to grow as a cash crop out here prescription drugs?
I have yet to see a Vicodin tree or a Percocet tree.
I'm only saying that to make a point.
Well, I missed it, I guess. not enough, I guess.
I'm not trying to argue with you. We need to be careful what we ask for.
Well, right, and I think what we also need to be careful of is the people, and I'm sure you've got loved ones or you've had loved ones who have been on five or six types of different narcotics for pain. I was on five or six types. You know, since I came out here and I've been able to use medical marijuana, I only take 2 pills a day now instead of the handfuls I was having to take. This plant has saved my life, and it is saving many others' lives. And for the stigma of people in this county to put on patients like myself calling us dopers, reefers, or anything like that,
But Sean, I'm sympathetic to your physical conditions, all right? Let's get that clear. But let me ask you this here. Are you not getting what you need right now? You just told me you're getting what you need right now. Why are we pressing it so hard?
It because the city of Reading still has their ordinances in effect. All the other places have put a moratorium or a hold on there just because of the work my group has been doing and supporting and fighting out against these ordinances.
Yeah, but Reading, you can go to almost any place in Reading, right? There are 30 or 40 of them?
Well, there are about 25 to 30.
Okay, 25 to 30, but you can go there to get the recommendations, right?
I can go there to get my medicine.
Well, no, I understand that. That's what I meant. After you've got the recommendation, so you've got the right in Reading to go to 25 places.
Right.
Okay, and you're just concerned that it's going to be cut off for the rest of the Shasta County.
I'm concerned that these ordinances
will spread.
Anderson and Reading and Shasta County are opposing. They go against state law. They go against the Constitution of California. And for a lot of you who are angry about government takeover of health care, this is the same thing. They're trying to tell us what we can and can't put in our body.
Okay, we have like about 5 minutes.
Thank you for your passion.
Thanks, Sean.
You know, okay.
And letting us hear your story and your testimony, very important. Thank you for that.
Thank you,
ma'am.
Thank you for allowing me to.
Well, I'd like to stop anybody from here or speaking. We never have and we never will.
Hi, I had to make 2 points. One, I'm wholeheartedly for those who are in severe pain and marijuana helps. I have no qualms with that. I read an article in the National Review magazine last month talking about them legalizing it in Montana. 80% of the ones that went and got pot or whatever at the outlets were between the ages of 20 and 30. Now, can you tell me why we have so many unhealthy people between the ages of 20 and 30 when most of these people, the older people that have cancer and stuff that need treatment, You can't tell me that the ones who don't need it are going there and taking advantage of it. We got to find some way to police this some way. And as far as after effects of pot, I have two friends of mine from New Orleans whose brains are completely burnt out from being pot smokers when they started in their 20s, and they'll never be the same. Bipolar, all kind of stuff and everything, and they were very good and intelligent before all that happened.
And you're talking about my concerns. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, we have to – okay, we got another comment, and then we're going to have to close up shop here.
All right, Corky. And just listening to you and knowing your background, I think that you're more an initiator than a reactor, okay?
Okay, thank
you. And so my question to you, as you're coming into the Board of Supervisors – What is something you want to initiate that's not there already? Because most of the candidates I hear are just reactive. And I want someone that comes in there that's got something original to bring to the table, whether it be as supervisors, we're not going to take salaries anymore, for example. I'm just going to say this. But not take salaries anymore. We're going to just be public servants. You know, something that's different, something that's meeting the problems now, and that isn't just the same old, develop, develop, develop.
And you're talking about leaders instead of followers.
Exactly. That's what I would like to see. I like to know if you're thinking along those lines, what is your pet idea in your mind that you would like to see happen in Shasta County? Well,
that's an easy question for me to answer because the primary thing on the top of my mind is all the people that are hurting. The people are hurting because people are not starving to death, but people are hurting. They're going bankrupt. The business is poor. We got to create jobs. We got to stimulate in a positive way our local economy. There's so much going on. You can't hardly if you stay on the news very much, you kind of want to just shrivel up and get depressed. But we got to do something positive, just like you're saying. We got to create some jobs somewhere. We got to stimulate the economy. How are you going to do that? Well, there's things like let's not send jobs that can be done right here to Sweden. I heard a story the other day about outside contracts that weren't given to some local businesses, some preference.
Record Searchlight. Outsourcing.
Yeah, I'm not up with that one, but we could probably come up with about 20, 30 of them right here real quick. And we need to do some things to stimulate keeping those jobs here and keeping them and give ourselves some personal preference. If you live here, if you have a business here, let's do what we can to get those jobs that are here in the hands of those people that are from here.
Well, thank you. Go ahead.
I'd say
anything's
possible.
Is there a way of getting all the businesses in this county that outsource? I don't know.
I want to say one more thing, Carl, real quick. This is something that happened last week, and it had to do with the gravel pit, Lyle Tulsa's gravel pit. If that gravel pit wasn't there, there's a good chance that the second and third bidder that came up on that, Lyle got the job, the Cottonwood, we call it the Cottonwood grade. And it was a huge quantity of aggregate that needs to be out there. Those jobs stayed here in Shasta County because Lyle Tolles had that pit. It could have ended up going to Tehama County. One of the low bidders on that project was Knife River. They're not even in Shasta County. All that material would have started coming up the freeway, and those jobs would have primarily been jobs that were supplied outside this county. That's a perfect example of the kind of thing we need to do, sir.
Okay. You know, we appreciate, first of all, Corky for coming here and standing up here in front. Well, believe it or not, there are people that represent us or that want to represent us do not want to be questioned. They don't want to be on the radio. They don't want to be here. And I find that amusing why it is. You know, why is it? What are you afraid of? I mean, what are you afraid from the people that you want to represent that you can't answer their questions? Even if you can't answer that specific question because nobody has got knowledge that's a mile deep. So there may be things you don't know. But at least you're standing there in front of your constituents or the ones that you want to be your constituents and your fellow North State people. So
We like to thank, first of all, give everybody give a hand for yourselves.
Thank you. And thank you.
For Corky Harmon, for showing up today. Thank you so much, Corky.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
And the last thing I want to say, Fred.
Thank you, Fred Chavez.
Fred Chavez, of course.
The Accent Digital guys over here.
Tobacco and Brew. But the one thing, too, is that today, again, everybody gets to speak. Everybody gets to speak civilly. And that is one of the things I really, really appreciate about our town hall meetings. So thank you very much.
Thank you.